support for OPB comes from our members and from our sponsors, like Mike Rosenberg from Columbia Credit Union. Mike says they trust what they see and hear on OPB, and that aligns with Columbia Credit Union's brand.
It's OPB Politics Now for Friday, April 5th. 10 months ago, Portland City Council attempted to address unsanctioned homeless camps around the city with a well-worn strategy, passing a ban. Then pretty much nothing happened. Today, the city's policies are largely the same as they were prior to that June vote. And now Mayor Ted Wheeler has gone back to the drawing board. He's got a brand new plan for cracking down on camping. And this time, he thinks things will be different. We're going to walk you through it today. Welcome to the podcast. I'm OPB politics reporter Dirk Vanderhart.
And I'm OPB Portland government reporter Alex Zielinski.
Welcome, Alex. So I just summarized a somewhat herky-jerky, I guess, path that Portland City Council has taken to get to this point. But I think I left out a lot. So before we get to what Mayor Wheeler wants to do, let's talk about what he was proposing almost a year ago now. What did that plan look like?
Yeah. So that was June. And it was pretty complicated, which may have led to its demise, but I'll get into that later. So last year's plan was called a time, place, and manner policy for the three different ways it addressed camping. Basically, it banned camping between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. on any public property. And the manner part of this proposal addresses activities people would be banned from doing while camping on public property, like no fires, no dumping, garbage, stuff like that.
So that was the proposal. Yeah. The council agreed last June, as I said, that this is a good idea. Let's move forward. And then things happened, but really in terms of city policy, nothing happened. So why not?
Yeah, you're right. The proposal was approved and on track to go into effect in November. But then the city was hit with a lawsuit from a group of Portlanders experiencing homelessness. They were represented by several civil rights attorneys who said the city violated these plaintiffs' protections against cruel and unusual punishment under the Eighth Amendment. They also argue that the policy violates both state and federal law. This is a good place to bring up the bigger legal landscape that camping bans currently exist within in Portland. Let's go back to 2018, a federal appeals court ruled that it was unconstitutional to criminalize people for sleeping on public property if there weren't enough shelter beds to accommodate a city's homeless population. That's a big deal in Portland, where its homeless population is almost double the size of shelter beds, and know that most of those beds are already occupied. In 2021, the state legislature passed a bill that essentially made this ruling state law and required all cities to create policies that reflect it. So it's this legal rule at the center of the lawsuit against the city's first camping ban. But, I didn't explain why all of this put the policy on hold. Basically, lawyers representing the homeless plaintiffs asked the judge to put the city's new rule on pause while that lawsuit was carried out in court, and the judge agreed, which brings us to today.
Yeah, we should note that state law you mentioned that sort of codified the Boise decision was really pushed by Tina Kotek, then the House Speaker, now the governor. So some pretty powerful people behind that. But for our practical purposes, the ban hasn't gone into effect. The city, though, I think has been doing a lot of other things around camping. We're not just static. So help us understand some of those things.
Yeah. It's definitely worth pointing out that in announcing this ban last year, the city also pledged to ramp up, construction and expansion of new shelters and outreach programs that connect people living outside to housing. It was meant to kind of go in conjunction with these new enforcements. So we have seen some progress in cycling people off the streets and into housing, into, larger outdoor shelters. But the funding is still a little patchy, and we continue to see people living outside in public areas that, continues to piss off neighbors, businesses, and politicians.
And so that is the status quo. That is where we sit today. But then yesterday, you and others reported that Wheeler now has a new plan, a different plan, a plan that he, I guess, says is going to be more workable. Walk us through it. What's in this?
Yeah, sure. So it's really rooted in the current legal situation that I kind of laid out. So it allows people to set up tents and camp on public spaces outside, but only if those people can't access shelter. And if that's the case, if there's no shelter available, campers can stay put, but they have to follow a few rules. People can't light fires, use a propane heater, dig into the ground, leave a bunch of trash behind, block businesses, pedestrian paths, a few other things. They all fall into what the city calls manner regulations. Here's how city attorney Robert Taylor put it.
The way I would explain it is if you have an alternative shelter option available, you cannot camp anywhere in the city. If those alternatives are not available, then you must follow these manner regulations. And if you don't follow those, then you could be subject to enforcement.
So in terms of enforcement, you know, people who violate this new policy can face a $100 fine or up to 7 days in jail. And you can also be subject to this enforcement if available shelter beds exist and you still refuse to leave your camp or move. For Mayor Wheeler, this policy is really about addressing a specific type of unsheltered camper. Here's how you put it.
What this does is it gives us now some reasonable tools for people who just don't want to work with us, people who refuse shelter, people who refuse services, who dig in and say, nope, I'm going to continue to camp in this public right-of-way. We now have some actual law enforcement tools to be able to address those kinds of issues.
So it's really zeroing in on people who have become kind of a thorn in the city's side, it seems.
And let's just make it really clear for people. So we walked through the thing that they passed last year. Now there's something else. It feels like it's a little more stripped down. I mean, what are the big sort of differences and takeaways between this new plan and the one the city council passed last year?
Well, you're right in that it's much more slimmed down than that original. You know, like I said before, the first policy addressed time, place, manner. This one only looks at manner. Another difference is the penalty. You know, the original policy hit violators but left to 100 days in jail, while this one just gives a week in jail.
Okay. And yet, this is Portland. You know, we have a long history here of fighting over these rules. But any reason to expect that the city shouldn't be preparing for a lawsuit as the city council moves forward with this?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The policy seems to be a lot more in line with the law, both state and federal, which I think goes a long way both for the city and for the civil rights attorneys who might be bringing additional cases. You know, the city attorney, Robert Taylor, is pretty optimistic that this should withstand legal scrutiny. And the attorneys who represented the homeless plaintiffs in the initial case, they aren't really ready to speak about it publicly, but there's no immediate blowback. They aren't raising the alarm yet. What is nearly certain is that the original lawsuit is dead in the water. Since the city is repealing that policy to introduce this new one, it's erasing the entire basis of that lawsuit from last year. So it's very likely that if this proposal is passed by city council, that case will be dropped.
We have been talking a lot about just what's happened in the last year or so. I mean, let's zoom out a little bit, right? There has just been so much, as I have called it, push and pull over the decades, even the relatively short period of time that I've been paying attention and covering the city over camping enforcement. There was the city's attempts to outlaw sitting or lying on sidewalks. Those were fought in court. There is the existing anti-camping law that actually continues on the city's books, but now, as you point out, sort of runs afoul of state policies and can't be enforced. And then there have also been policies that cut the other way. People might remember the safe sleep policy that former Mayor Charlie Hales put forward that actually created a pathway that kind of legalized camping in some circumstances around the city. Very, very controversial there. I mean, there is just a long history in Portland and probably every major city, really, of wrestling with how to address people who are living outside. But obviously, this hinges on a lot more, especially right now, than just the fight here in Portland. There are some really big legal questions that are playing out nationally.
Yes. Yeah. This is all playing out as the legal backbone to this policy is being challenged at the Supreme Court. Basically, the city of Grants Pass in Southern Oregon is challenging that 2018 appeals court ruling I mentioned earlier that bars cities from enacting camping bans if they don't have enough shelter. The court is hearing arguments this month and will make a ruling this summer. That decision could really change the course of Portland's camping ban because this appeals ruling impacts all of Oregon. And, you know, it could possibly also change state laws around camping bans. There's a lot in flux. And All of this is to say that the policy is not the end of the conversation around camping rules in Portland.
Yeah, and that obviously, Supreme Court decision, that's going to impact camping policy in the Western U.S. And probably the nation. I mean, hugely, hugely important thing that will have an impact here as well. Okay, a lot of policy talk. This is a politics podcast, Alex. So I want to end on this. City Council tried to crack down on camping once last year. Is there any reason to expect the politics of a vote on this are different this time? I mean, should we just expect this to sail through?
Well, maybe. So most city commissioners are on board with this plan. But there are some who have questions and are wondering if this is really the right way to pass this kind of policy. Commissioner Rene Gonzalez has raised the question why the city shouldn't wait until it's operating under a new form of government next year to draft this policy. If you remember, you know, there will be a city administrator under that new structure, and that's the person Gonzalez says should make the call. He says that it'll make it easier to update a policy if laws change, since an administrator won't have to necessarily go through the council process to make changes. And also worth noting that a future administrator will be appointed by the future mayor, and Gonzalez is running for mayor. Meanwhile, Ted Wheeler, who is not running for mayor, is not on board with this logic. He says it puts important decisions behind closed doors. Here's his explanation.
My attitude is, let's have the people who are accountable to the public, our elected officials, make these decisions in public. And yes, democracy is messy, but it's also transparent. And I think that's what it should be at the end of the day.
I don't think this disagreement is going to be enough to tank the council vote. I think Gonzalez is still very on board with moving something forward, but it could make for some spicy discussions. I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but this is all coming before City Council for a hearing on April 18th in a couple weeks. And if it's approved, it should be in place, you know, by June.
Okay. Yeah, that's an initial hearing on the 18th, as I understand it, and they would take a vote the following week. And then, you know, maybe for once, actually something changes in law, and as opposed to just sitting there on ice. It will be very interesting to watch. Alex, thanks so much for walking us through it.
Thank you.
This episode of OPB Politics Now was produced by Andrew Thien, with audio engineering from Nalene Silva. Our music comes from Audio Network. We'll be back next week with more political news from across the Pacific Northwest. Until then, you can find all of OPB's reporting at opb.org. And while you're there, you can become an OPB member. You can also rate or review us in your podcast app of choice. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.
Politics Now and OPB's critical reporting from across the Northwest happen only with the support of our members. Do your part now and join us as a sustainer at opb.org/pod.